Hello and welcome to the Absolutely Outrageous Podcast with myself, Lee McGonigal, and I've also brought along my friend Jessica today.
Hi to everybody.
So, today I wanted to touch on something maybe a little bit more serious, show my serious side, and don't worry, the imaginary nanny Janine is out the room and the kids are out, so we can go hell for leather today. We can sort of talk about what we want and how, you know, how much in depth we want to go to it. We can swear, you can even say fuck, if you want it. You go and say what you want. But today I sort of wanted to talk about living on your own and preserving one's health, all in one. So I live on my own, and Jessica, you live on your
own. Very much so, yes. Although I've gone back and forth with regards to whether or not I want to share my space. But for now, living on your own is, I find, very liberating.
Liberating. Liberating Lee from Lee on Set.
Oh, great. I've just given you another word to add to that.
Yeah. Liberating Lee from Lee and C. Absolutely love that. You can come again. But if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 24.
24. I'm 23. So, yes.
So we're from the same generation.
Same ilk. Millennials. Yeah. You know, we do all of that. And yeah. we're new teen grunges or whatever.
Although I'm not very much into the avocado breads.
Oh no!
Salad, you know,
oh no!
Very
trust
much
me.
A normal millennial.
I live on a diet of prosecco and prosecco and Caesar salad, minus the chicken. Mm. So the fact I'm still actually here in front of you today is quite impressive. But anyway, so I just sort of wanted to talk about preserving one's health when you live on your own, because obviously we've grown up in probably family environments where it's all, you know, doctor's appointments, you know, nutrition and all those other things, probably catered for
food.
You. Home-cooked food.
God, I miss that.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You come in from work, you come in from school and the food's there on the table waiting for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about what you're cooking that night. So, yeah, I miss that terribly.
Yeah. So, do you think your health, in a way, has been deprived of its full capacity since you have moved out?
Actually, I would say since I've moved to Southend, because I'm from London, so although I did move from home earlier.
Oh, I think that says a lot about Southend.
I think it's just the fact that we're so far away from so many different services. It's not like London where you have the gym next door, you have the swimming pool, you know, not too far from you.
We're not living in the outback of bloody Botswana here. We have gyms, we have pools, but you may have to travel to them.
Exactly. And also because I still live in London, so that journey from London to home, by the time I get home, I'm too tired to go to the gym.
Of course.
You know, it gets a little bit harder, but no, you just have to make it work.
Really. And how do you make it work? How do you maintain staying healthy, staying regimented?
I've had to pay a lot more attention to my food. So, you know what they say, food diet is 80% food and 20% exercise. So, I'm not exercising as much as I used to anymore. So, I have to pay really close attention to what I eat, just because it's much harder for me to get to the gym.
Yeah. I mean, I must say, I sort of do agree with that, but I must say, I sort of took my foot off the pedal. You know, I went into the apartment and I was sort of living hand to mouth. The whole idea of a weekly shop, which I used to do when I was a child, if you like to be a family, the whole idea of a weekly shop was thrown out the window.
Really?
You know, it's now hand to mouth, like hunter gatherer.
You go straight to the shop.
I go straight to the shop every night.
As soon as you get to Southend from work, you go straight to, I don't know how you do it.
Every night, I walk.
If it rains, if it snows, you're
I'm
there.
Rain, everyone knows that I am, you know, I'm a man, I'm a hiker, you know, I'm a hunter gatherer. If I want food on the table, I will go and find that food. You know, I'm not going to lackadaisically lard around and not get the food. I walk into Sainsbury in a mission.
And they know. They probably all know you there, don't they? You see you.
Oh no, I keep my head down. I will not. If I walk into Sainsbury's, which I often do, I will not make any form of communication. I'm straight to the self-service checkout. I don't want to be dealing with a human the other side of the till looking at what I'm going to buy to eat. I think that's very disturbing when you go to a supermarket. Whoever's at the till is looking at what you've brought. And what you've brought, you're usually going to consume. And I don't want someone looking at what I'm going to consume unless they're in a restaurant and they're a waitress.
Yeah.
I don't want someone on the other side of the till doing that to me.
For me, it's not so much the looking, it's the touching. So oh, if you buy things like loose vegetables, for example, pepper.
That sounds awful. Loose vegetables.
Very much loose vegetables. And yeah. They touch it. They have to touch it to scan it, don't they? And if you work in a supermarket, you're touching everything. You're touching money.
Tic-tac-touch. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for me, I find that really terribly disgusting. So I have to go to the self-checkout for that item.
I like that saying. Terribly disgusting.
It's terribly disgusting.
Terribly disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting. So are you cooking for yourself? How are you preserving? Because I'm going hand to mouth and it's almost like IKEA cooking. I can get little packets of, you know, Caesar dressing, Parmesan, little croutons, put it all into a dish and then I can make it. But I don't necessarily think I'm cooking. Are you cooking?
What you mean? You're heating?
Yeah, I mean, are you cooking? Do you do big meals for yourself or are you quite...
I wouldn't say big, but I definitely do cook for myself. I mean,
I wouldn't say big either, yeah. Oh, keep a niche, right? You've got to keep it slow.
So I actually do most of my grocery buying during the weekends. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Either on a Saturday or a Sunday, I'd write a list.
Very practical.
I run out of, it goes straight into my box, into my basket, as they say. And then on a Sunday, I'll take my list to Sainsbury's and I'll just do the shopping for the week. And what I try to do is buy as many frozen foods, such as frozen veg, frozen chicken, because that lasts.
Yeah.
And it saves you a lot more than it does buying fresh veg and fresh chicken.
See, here on the Absolutely Outrageous podcast, we offer practical advice.
Yeah.
Buy your frozen goods. If you're like Jessica, if you're like me, you're going to be wasting loads of money. What I tend to buy, and it does cost a little bit more than the extra, but it's called Charlie Bingham's. And what they do are very nice gourmet meals that you just cook in, because I don't have a microwave because I don't believe in microwaves, but you just put them in the oven and they come out 30 to 40 minutes later and they are delicious, but you are looking probably about £8
they're
a piece.
They're quite high end, aren't they?
Yeah, they're, you know, I'm a high end kind of guy, but
yeah, you definitely are.
But it's, I'd say from a practical stance, from my point of view, I'd suggest going to Charlie Bingham's, because if you want a selection of meals, they do pies, they do lasagnas, they do many other things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's quite a lot Italian based actually, but they're very easy and quick to make. And if you're like me, where I'm working in the city and I get back late and I don't want to, you know, I'm a single guy, I don't want to be cooking up a storm. And I personally, I don't want to be going getting loose veg on a Saturday, but it all works for different people. That's easy for me, but it comes at a cost, which...
Having said that, there are companies such as Gusto, HelloFresh,
Mindful
Chef. I did used to do that, and it turned out it was like £8 per meal, if you like, but I didn't step into Sainsbury's once while I was doing that, because
the food was just
delivered to me every weekend for the week.
Yeah.
And it was great. The only thing is that... there were times when I'd come home and I just didn't feel like cooking. I've had a long week, long day. And I
so
just
does HelloFresh make you cook?
HelloFresh does make you
it
cook.
It makes you cook.
Yes, and it gives you easy step-by-step guides on how to cook certain food. And it's great because you get to cook such a variety, a wide range.
Are you actually like it? Oh, good.
That you never would have tried, or, you know, ingredients that you never would have cooked with before. Yeah. So I learned a lot from HelloFresh, but for me the downside was that it can get very expensive, especially if you don't want to cook every night. I ended up having to throw away quite a lot of food because I was coming home and I just wanted to get to bed. I just couldn't be bothered to cook. And you either had to cook that day or throw it away.
It's a certain amount of pressure, isn't it?
Exactly.
A certain amount of pressure.
And I don't want that pressure.
We can't be doing that. No. We can't be doing that.
Because I'm very much a millennial.
Very much a millennial. Very much a millennial. Now we're on the topic of cooking. I've actually got it's almost a bit embarrassing to say, but I was diagnosed, and my friends that will know this, I don't think you know this, I'm not sure if you do, but I was diagnosed with gout.
Oh, really?
Which is spelled G-O-U-T. And what basically gout is crystallisation of, like, sort of joints in your throat, and it's led on by eating too much red meat, too much... Parmesan, too much wine, whatever.
Oh dear.
And I was looking at my lifestyle and I was going, maybe this is the case, because it all started when I woke up one night, and you wouldn't believe this, I woke up one night with a pain in my throat. Mm. If you had a pain in your throat, what do you think?
No, I mean...
You wouldn't think anything of it?
No, I wouldn't think, no.
Yeah, wouldn't think anything of it. I literally limped into the office. You know, I could barely bloody walk. I work in Noise of London, so my underwriter... We've got a little underwriting team. My underwriter actually had to go and get me some paracetamol. Mm-hmm. Or paracetamol, depending on your dialect, where you're from in the UK. So I had to go and get some paracetamol. Because the pain was absolutely... It was pounding. Really, really pounding.
I was going to ask, can you describe the pain?
It was a throbbing pain. And the only way I can describe it is I watched a film where it's called Stigmata. And Stigmata is basically when people feel like they were Jesus on the cross. So nails through the head and nails through the foot. And blood comes out. I felt like I had a nail through the foot, like Stigmata. I know that's a dramatic way to compare the two contrasts. But that I honestly felt... For a second, I might have actually thought I could be Jesus. Maybe Maranto. And this is all part of the bigger plan.
You know
plan.
What? I don't believe in him, so anyone could be him.
Exactly. No pain, no gain. That's what I'm going to hear. I mean, that's the moral of Christianity. Moral of Jesus. No pain, no gain.
No gain, exactly.
But anyway, so I had this pain in my foot and I could barely walk at work. So I decided to see, and this might have been when I went wrong, I decided to see the on-site nurse. And the on-site nurse, the Lawyers of London nurse, I went down into, we've got a little, like, little area, and I went down, she went, right, get your foot off, get your foot out. So I got my foot out. And
Essex?
In my head, she was an Essex kind of girl. And I got my foot out, and she said, remove the sock. So I removed the sock, and I never, ever, ever had skin-on-skin action with a, you know, health professional. Her hand touched my foot, skin and skin, so I'm taken aback.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, whoa. Calm down, lady, calm down. So she touched my foot and she's prodding it. She's going, does that hurt? And I was like, yeah, it bloody hurts, mm-hmm. yes. And she then said to me, this looks like gout. Ooh. And I went, whoa, what's that?
Ooh.
I was like, ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I went, whoa, what's that? What are you on about? And she's gone, gout. Everyone has gout in Noise of London. I was like, what is gout? And she goes, well, basically, it's led on by all the reasons I just said, by the food. Your foot sort of sticks out at one side. Really? And it's sort of like a big ball. And I saw it. The second she said it, I saw it and went, fuck.
Well, I can swear. I wonder if I have gout.
Yeah, no, well, this is the thing. Talking about preserving one's health on your own. I thought, okay, do I trust... Winnie Nitty Nancy Pansy Lloyd's nurse, or do I go and see a GP?
Mm-hmm.
So I go and see a GP. Have you signed up to a local GP?
No, I've been really naughty. I haven't done it 8 months in and I still haven't signed up.
You've got to do it.
I know, I absolutely need to.
Anyone that's thinking of moving out, you always forget when you first move out that you will probably, if you've changed location, even 10 miles down the road, you've probably got a new GP, and it's very, very important that you sign up to your GP, because otherwise you could be diagnosed with gout and be walking around the streets with a sore foot for the rest of your life.
Well, I was diagnosed with UTI and I was walking around London with UTI.
What's UTI?
Urinary tract infection.
And that is?
And women get it more so than men do.
Oh.
Because we apparently have a short urethra, I think it's called urethra.
Urethra Franklin, great woman. God rest her soul. God rest her soul.
So yes, I mean, it's just it's when you pee and it stings so badly.
Ooh.
And it kind of feels like your bladder wants to just rip itself out.
It's
the hardest thing ever.
Yeah.
And women get it more so than men do. And because I'm not signed up to the local GP, I had to go to A&E in London after work and they couldn't give me anything. So luckily for me, my friend worked for a private medical clinic and they were able to send me a GP to my workplace who gave me some antibiotics and that's all.
Well, perfect. But the moral of the story is...
I need to have a GP.
Sign up to your GP.
Exactly.
What does GP stand for?
We don't need to know that. General practitioner.
Well, I'm a general practitioner in generally practicing signing up to a GP. I think that should be generally what we should do. So anyway, I've gone to the local GP and I shouldn't name names, but he was called Dr. Kent. But I refuse to put the word doctor prior to his name.
Why is that?
Because he is undeserving of the title doctor. He is Mr. Dr. Kent. And Mr. Dr. Kent had... I walked into this room... And it was sterile, it was a cold atmosphere, it was almost very creepy in a way. I was just a bit on edge the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this little sink and he washed his hands. I was like, in his like doctor's office, I was like, bloody hell, you know, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. He's washed his hands, and he, again, much like, or mirrored quite very much the attributes of the Lloyd's nurse, and said, get your foot out. I went, okay. I might make an Instagram page for my foot, because everyone keeps going, get your foot out.
Get your foot out.
Get your foot out. Get your foot out. So I got the foot out, and he's dead, and again, he's touched the foot. He's prodded and touched the foot. And I'm
bare-handed.
Bare-handed.
Wow.
Bare-handed. So he's touching the foot, and he's going again, does that hurt? And I'm, yes, it does hurt. And then I think I ill-manneredly mentioned that the Lloyd's nurse said this could be gout.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone, he stood up, crossed his arms, he's gone, yeah. Yeah, that's gout.
See, I don't like telling them. I like them to...
To diagnose. Tell,
yeah, to diagnose.
Yeah, I gave
see
him...
See whether it matches.
I gave him the easy option out. So he goes, yes, that's gout. And then he's proceeded to say, would you be interested in joining the Southend Gout group? Where they will trial and test remedies to overcome
this?
Gout. And there was
you meet
pictures,
every Wednesday?
There was pictures... in his office. Like, it was like he had been waiting all year for me to step in. You know, pictures in his office of different forms of gout,
oh,
different
Jesus.
Pictures, and they all meet up at the Southend Gout group, like an AA meeting. At what point would a 23-year-old ever go, I would love to join the Southend Gout group? It's absolutely crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy behaviour.
That is hilarious.
So I've got Mr. Dr. Ken... No, thank you. I'd like to just proceed with this appointment and see exactly what we can do to fix this. And he's gone, well, all people that I suspect have gout need to go for a blood test.
Mm-hmm.
So the plot thickens. And bearing in mind, these things don't just happen. You know, there's always periods of time between. So I've then been, I need to go for a blood test at Southend Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
In that period of time, because this is the NHS, and God love the NHS, but it does take a while. Between appointments, from the GP to, it was like 2 weeks later, I've gone, fuck, I need to do something about my life, my health, preserve my health. So I've gone vegetarian, well, no, sorry, I went vegan, then went to vegetarian, because vegan is just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I cut down on the red meat. Oh, sorry, if you're vegetarian, you don't eat red meat. But I cut down on the red wine. I cut down everything.
Yeah.
And I actually started a couple of vlogs about my, you know, going through this and whatever.
That's very good.
So I've completely changed my livelihood.
Yeah.
For Mr. Dr. Kent's diagnostic. Okay? I've completely changed my outlook on life. Do I feel fresher? Do I feel better for it? No. I don't feel any better. But have you ever tried going vegan or anything like that?
I would never try going vegan. To me, that's like a religion. Well, it is a religion.
Yeah.
You know, I like vegans who don't bang on about how vegan they are.
That's a great statement. I like vegans. I'm not sure I can say that.
I like vegans who don't bang on about how vegan they are.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is your choice, ultimately.
Veganuary just happened.
Yeah, it's getting too crazy for me. I mean, why do we need that?
Yeah, it's crazy. So I dabbled in the vegan world. And then luckily enough, I was put forward for the blood test a little bit earlier. So I've gone for the blood test, the gout test as I'll call it, the Southend Gout test.
Mm-hmm.
And I've walked into the mecca that is Southend Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I've walked in and it's like a city. It's like a town. Hospital, I've not been to hospitals probably since I was born.
It's like an indoor town.
It was. There was a W.H. Smith in there.
Yeah.
There was elevators.
Oh my God.
There was, it you was know- like, I honestly felt like I was in like, a spaceship where all of humanity outside of the world had decided to congregate and live. It was all needs were catered for, obviously to quite a disgusting hygienic standard.
You know what the funny thing is? I actually come from Croydon, and in Croydon Hospital, Croydon University Hospital, you will go in there and find a Burger King.
Oh! Oh! The crime!
A Burger King in a hospital. So I very much know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I was taken aback. But anyway, I get to the blood test area and there was a sea of empty chairs. And I just thought, I've waited 2 bloody weeks and there's a sea of empty chairs. And this woman comes out and she goes, is Mr. Panache there? And I'm like, Mr. Panache isn't there. And I just, clearly no one else is there apart from me in the sea of chairs and my stepmom. So I put my arm up. And she, and I was going, can I just go? Can I just get the test? And she's gone, all right then, all right. I've gone into this room, and I wouldn't say it was a room. One wall was just a drawn curtain. It's like not the private, the privacy wasn't quite up to the expectation.
Luckily, it was empty that day then.
She's gone, get your arm out. And I've gone, well, I've been told all week I want to get my foot out. Now you want my arm. What do you want? What does everyone want from me?
Next apart
from my
head.
Body parts. So I've got my arm out and she's gone, left or right? And I've gone, what? She went, left arm or right arm? I've gone left. I've put my arm out and she's hit it. And I went, what are you doing? She went, I'm getting the vein up. And I was just like, this has gone quite far now. From, you know, from the Lloyd's nurse to Mr. Dr. Kent to being vegan to now being slapped on the arm to get the vein up. So then she's put the needle in. I can't even look. I'm facing the other way. I'm going to be sick any minute. There's three, I turn around, there's three tubes mm-hmm. of scarlet red blood.
Mm-hmm.
My blood.
It's very,
there.
You know, vibrant, isn't it? The blood. The
yeah, I mean,
blood.
It's harrowing.
It's very out there.
It's harrowing.
It's like the deepest red you've never seen before.
Yeah, it was actually... I had a rumour that your blood's actually blue and then it hits the oxygen and goes red, but I'm not sure if that's true.
I heard that too.
I think
too.
That might be... we need to look that up.
Some
things
do with blood cells. Red
classic,
blood cells, white blood cells. I just,
I think it's a classic millennial school ground... like rumor, a bit like how the Frosty Kid committed suicide. Like everyone hears, do you know what I mean? We always hear the millennial rumors, and I think that could be one of them. If you're a scientist and you're listening, please feel free to contact me and put me in my place. I'm sure.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I've seen this red blood, and I'm startled to say the least. And obviously, once again, you have to wait for results. So I've left there. I felt like I've been dragged through a hedge backwards. Just for the whole deal. I mean, this has gone on now touching a month since the first pain in the foot. Still can't walk anywhere at this point, by the way. I'm sort of limping around. And it was pending results. The results I chased up. And this was when I just moved out, actually. So I was
This was quite a while ago then. This was last year, about 8 months ago.
This was last year. And to this day, I'm still affected by the whole situation.
Did you still have gout?
Well, I'll tell you about the results of the gout test. So I got the results of the gout test and I called up the GP, waiting for the results, and I'm chasing because I want to know. I want to, you know, I've gone vegetarian / vegan and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
I've called up and I've chased the results of the gout test. And the lady said to me, "Hi, Mr. McGonagall, I got your test results here." Like, come on, I think her name was Linda or something. Come on, Linda, come on, chop along. It turns out you do not have gout and you're negative for gout. Okay, great news. What do I have then? What on earth has gone wrong? And then she goes, you did mention to Mr. Dr. Kent that you're wearing shoes one size too small. Could that possibly be it?
That is hilarious.
So then I changed my shoes the next day. Pain gone.
Wow.
Pain was gone.
So you went through all that.
All of that. Pain gone. Absolutely gone.
You must have been so relieved.
The whole thing was absolutely outrageous. It was just, I was relieved. I went through like...
I think this just sums you up, Lee.
I went through a lot of emotions. I went from...
I think this just sums you up.
Anger to, oh God, what am I like? To... I've only got myself to blame.
You turned vegan for an issue that you could have easily resolved by buying an extra size.
Well, this is the NHS
shoes.
For you. The women at Lloyd's could have just gone, T-shirts fit? You got the right size shoes on. And I would have gone, oh, no, I don't.
Then, no, but I think they have to look at the most...
The
worst case scenario for them, you know, just in case. So at least they've covered the worst case scenario. Yeah. And if it turns out that you're wearing shoes which are a size too small, that is an easy problem to correct. Whereas if it turned out you did have gout, but, you know, your shoes were tight and they started you off with that instead, you wouldn't have had it diagnosed in time.
The whole thing from A to B, character building. I've built a lot of character over that. I've built resilience. I was scared. I overcame it. I changed my diet. Is it worth going vegan? I dabbled. Absolutely not. But to this day...
Don't go vegan, kids.
But it's really weird. One thing that stuck to me to this day is I'm still not that comfortable with chicken. Because I stopped all meat and it was only for 2 weeks. But... Mm. It's now been a year later, and I actually ordered something from Shabbat, which is our local Indian, last night, and I panicked. I ordered chicken, and I just picked around the plate.
Really?
You know,
is that all meat or just chicken?
Just chicken. I mean, I'm happy with all other meat.
Pork, beef, lamb.
I mean, pork. When I've been going into Sainsbury's, this really scared me, and I'm sure you've probably seen the local Sainsbury's as well.
Mm.
When you order, or not order, you buy minced meat,
mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, your mince, normal mince,
mm-hmm.
and then there's pork mince, and it's like a lighter colour, and it's completely, I just stood in the aisle, and I just thought, the world has gone mad.
Uh-huh.
Pork mince, really? It was just...
I'm sure it's just a way of kind of mashing up meat, isn't it? I think the mince is just describes a process that the meat goes through to become soft and curly in a way. I understand. I mean, I'm eating so much chicken at the moment and I'm actually worried that that may not be good for me.
Well, have you had any health scares at all?
Like recently? I mean, other than the UTI, no.
Good.
Luckily for me, no.
Can we get an amen, please?
Amen. Actually, having said that, RuPaul's Drag Race is starting up, the UK version, very soon.
There is a UK version of RuPaul's Drag Race?
There is a UK version.
No way.
Alan Carr and the other guy...
Who's the other guy?
He's a presenter. He's a very good presenter on BBC One. No, he's very...
Marlin.
No, he also presents Eurovision.
Graham Norton. I love Graham Norton.
So they are going to be the judges.
I aspire to be like Graham Norton.
Great. He is just this amazing, like, bumble of... Oh, he's just a great character.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's going to be so funny.
So much energy. It'll be great, but I don't
know. Is that going on to Netflix? Is it going to be on Netflix?
It's going to be on BBC Three, but I don't know if it's going to be as good as the American
BBC Three
one.
Is only online now, though, isn't it? BBC Three is not
BBC
on the
Three,
TV.
Yeah, it's Channel 7, isn't it?
No, they got rid of BBC Three.
Really?
It's just an online thing.
Well,
yeah.
it's going to be a TV programme, so it's surely going to
maybe
be...
Maybe it's only online, I don't know, but...
But we'll see how it goes. But I don't know whether our UK drag can amount to
I don't know anything.
US counterparts.
I'm not the best at gay culture anyway, or drag culture. I don't know much. And I should educate myself. But I've got a feeling
it's an amazing world.
I've got a feeling that UK drag is less elegant and chic than American drag. I think there's something to be said for UK drag. It's funnier. They might even wear a beard.
Yes.
It's all a bit, you know, oh, went down the pub the other day. You know, it's all a bit like that. Do you know what I mean? Went down the other pub the other day and Strainer was giving me a right old stick in the toe. You know, it's all a bit like that. And I think that's almost more endearing in a way. It's very British. It's very funny.
I think we may be a bit more reserved in everything we do, whether it's drag, I just think our culture is very more reserved, very much reserved. Whereas in America, they just go all out.
Too much.
What you see is what you get, and they probably go out too much, but that's
all skirt, no knickers.
That's what makes a great reality TV.
Yeah.
And actually, having said all skirt, no knickers, literally, there were people on Drag Race US who were naked on stage.
Oh, God.
And they literally go all out. Obviously, they don't show the bits on TV, but, you know, you get the idea, you get the gist. Let's see. I mean, we've gone from talking about gout to RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't know how, but this is literally your podcast. This
absolutely
is
outrageous.
What people are to expect.
Absolutely outrageous. Well, this has been a good first little stint on the podcast. We're touching half an hour now, so we are going to have to go. But thank you so much, Jessica, for
You're
coming
welcome.
Up to the podcast.
And I look forward to talking about other topics with you.
Yes, always welcome back. There'll be many other people featuring. And if you do want to follow me on Instagram, it's Lee from Lee, which is L-E-R-G-H. And thank you, everyone. Jessica, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Stay preserved.
Thank you.
Thank you. And keep it all cool.
Over and out.